history. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Hey, what's the number one worst school district in the country? Well, who spends the most money on schools? Well, the L.A. school district, they spend $9 billion a year. Imagine that's their budget. $9 billion with a B. Now, public school teachers listening out there, that's more than million. Million, then 1,000 times more than a million is a billion with a B. $9 billion a year. And you know what has become the symbol of the of that failed school district? What is now the symbol of the biggest failure in American education? Downtown L.A., they have a brand new mega school. Not brand new, but they spent $150 million on this mega school, and it's sitting empty. And it's been empty since they finished it. Why? Because somehow they managed to build it on a toxic waste site. And so the school district, hey, $9 billion a year, what's $150 million a blow decorating atop a toxic dump? Why not? All right. Hey, a Dr. Michael Soles is quoted in Newsweek July 23rd in their perspectives page, and he's an infertility expert. And he was talking about the Virginia Clinic, which is creating human embryos to harvest stem cells. So they fertilize eggs, and then they grow these embryos, and then they kill the babies and use the parts for research, whatever, kill innocent people and use the parts for products. Sort of like taking a car and chopping a car apart and using the parts. That's what they do with these unborn children. Well, this is what Michael Soles is quoted in Newsweek saying this. Their timing could not have been worse. You see, the country is trying to get our pro-life president, George W. Bush, to sign a law for funding for stem cell research. And Bush, being the great pro-life leader that he is, has been saying he's wrestling with this very difficult decision. He's not saying an unborn child has the right to live and we don't have the right to kill innocent people to use their parts. He's not saying that. He's saying, I'm really wrestling with whether or not to fund this, whether or not to pay for it with tax dollars. That would be like if we're going to enslave blacks or kill Jews, and George W. Bush was the president, and they said, Mr. President, could we use some tax money to kill Jews? And he says, well, I'm really wrestling with this difficult decision. That's not much of a leader. At any rate, notice what Newsweek knows the score here. They're all for creating embryos just for the purpose of killing them for research purposes, but they say the timing is bad. The timing is bad because first they want George W. Bush and the government to agree to fund research on stem cells, and then they want them to support creating them just for the purpose of killing them, and on and on. So, rather disgusting. Also, in the same issue in Newsweek, letters to the editor about Andrea Yates, who killed her 5 sons. And you know what the whole country's doing? They're not condemning her. They're not saying that she should be executed for murder and that killing her own children. They're saying we shouldn't judge her and we should have compassion for her and be tolerant of her. And this is consistent with all the other articles we brought to your attention, like the New York Times saying that mothers who kill their children after they're born are not monsters. They're nice, normal young women. They just got upset one day and they killed their infant babies. So here's the latest. I just want to read you a few quotes from the letters to the editor of Newsweek about Andrea Yates. And here's from St. Louis, Missouri. Your story about Andrea Yates and the murder of her children was restrained and respectful. Isn't that nice? My heart breaks for Andrea Yates, writes St. Louis, Missouri. How about this from Sudbury, Massachusetts? Thank you for your compassionate coverage of the Yates case. So you murder your kids and you have compassion and respect and restraint toward you. How about this from Elizabethtown, Kentucky? For anyone who has condemned Andrea Yates as a bad mother, You must walk a mile in her shoes in order to know what her world was like. So how's that? You can't call her a murderer. You can't demand for her to be executed. But you can't even call her a bad mother. You can't even say if you can't, you murder, you drown your five children, you can't even be called a bad mother any longer. The only way it's okay to call someone bad names if you're speaking of a pro-lifer or a Christian. Then you could unleash whatever venom you have within you, and everyone will applaud you. But if a woman murders her five kids, you can't call her her murderer. You can't even call her a bad mother. We've reached a new low. So you can't call her a bad mom. All right, this from Chicago, Illinois. The sensitivity in your article about Andrea Yates simply dazzled me. This is from a famous person, by the way. You will have a tremendous impact on the public perception of new motherhood. Newsweek will. I guess so. The new perception is, hey, you could kill your kids and everyone will like you. And you won't even be considered a bad mother. And then we've got this from Armonk, New York. It's about time, finally, someone had the courage to tell the truth about what I call women's dirty little secret. As the former editor-in-chief of 17 magazine, now that's for young girls who don't have any moral guidance, so their parents let them read 17 magazine. The media must do a better job of telling the full story of what mothering is about. And that's what mothering is about. Killing your kids. Why has the media gone head over heels with defending Andrea Yates? Why? Because to them, killing your child is a sacrament in their religion. There's no greater thing a woman could do. Nothing could make her more noble than to kill her child. And Andrea Yates is just bringing it out of the closet. You know, what was it? The former Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop, said if we kill the kids in the womb, we're going to start killing them after they're born. And sure enough, we have an epidemic of infanticide and mothers harming their own children. Here from Silver Springs, Maryland. Let's see. This writer says that the media's compassion for Andrea Yates must be racist. Because Andrea Yates is a white woman, and she says, but if a woman in a black neighborhood beats her child, she'll have to settle for the label child abuser. Where I'd like to know is the compassion for that woman. So that's it. If you beat your child, you're a good mother. If you kill your child, you're a good mother. All thanks to the media's perception of Andrea Yates. And then we have this from Name Withheld. Now, why was the name withheld on this one? See if you can guess. I do not think of Andrea Yates as a monster. That was the same thing in the New York Times article that just spoke generally. If a woman kills her kids, that doesn't mean she's a monster. She's a nice, normal woman. She just, like, had a syndrome. So it's not a crime. Forget that. It's not a sin, even. It's just a syndrome. She said, I do not think of Andrea Yates as a monster. On the contrary, I feel she deserves nothing but... the death penalty? No. Nothing but flogging? No. Nothing but the most tender care. So if someone's lonely and depressed and they want attention and tenderness, kill your kids. Because, according to Name Withheld, you murder your five kids, you're not a monster. On the contrary, you deserve nothing but the most tender care. And then Name Withheld writes, 3 weeks ago, I took home a pregnancy test, and it was positive. I was not and am not ready for another child. And now, as you continue to read the letter, you find out she's not pregnant any longer. Now, I wonder what happened. You know, in the article, she says she had a miscarriage. And that's a common thing. That's a common lie women will give when they don't want to admit to having an abortion. So Name Withheld perhaps had an abortion. And she sees in Andrea Yates her leader, a poster child, a poster woman for those who kill their kids. Hey, I'm not a monster. I deserve nothing but tender care, and so too with Andrea Yates. And let's end it with two more of these. From Whitestone, New York, as an attorney, Now, attorneys are responsible for much of the mayhem in our country because they've criminalized the law. God said, thou shalt not murder. An attorney said, oh, yes, you can. As an attorney, I'd like to note that temporary insanity is an affirmative defense under the law, and it must be proved by the defendant in order to avoid criminal conviction. It is not an escape hatch. So there you have it. Temporary insanity, and you kill your five kids. Why is it that when people go temporarily insane, which is only make-believe, but why is it no one ever fails to come to a complete stop at a stop sign when they're temporarily insane? They never shoplift a candy bar. They only murder people. That's it. You'd think when people go temporarily insane, there'd be a whole range of things they do. Like they accidentally start painting their neighbor's house, and they get charged with trespassing and painting a house without authorization. But that never, you never read that in the newspaper. You never see this 28-year-old woman shoplifted a Sony Walkman, and the reason she was temporarily insane. No, when people go temporarily insane, they only murder. That's it. Which obviously is an indication to us that that's just another fraud perpetrated by lawyers. And finally, from North Canton, Ohio, I understand the depression that gripped Andrea Yates. So understanding, tolerance, tenderness. She's a good mother. A good mother. And that's where, of course, abortion has brought us. It's turned the hearts of the nation against children and turned the hearts of mothers against their own kids. When it's legal to kill your kids and we kill 40 million of them, then, of course, we need to make it into a national pastime. Maybe someday we'll have a hall of fame of the most famous women who've killed their kids. I'd like to introduce you out there in Radio Land, those tuning in to Bob and Yurt Live on KGov.com. I'd like to introduce you to two women who just came back to Denver, Colorado from Wichita, Kansas, an event in Wichita, Kansas, remembering an event about 10 years ago called the Summer of Mercy, in which thousands of Christian pro-lifers went to Wichita, Kansas, and closed down the abortion mills with the force of gravity. We just sat in front of the doors. And it took them countless hours, hundreds of hours, if not more, man hours, thousands and thousands, to drag us away, only to see that we've been replaced by someone else willing to get arrested to save the life of an unborn child. Well, the Wichita Summer of Mercy renewal just ended, and here in studio, we have two women with us, Joe Scott and Brenna Sullinger. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, Bob.
It's good to have both of you here. Joe, thank you for letting me know about what happened. The media didn't cover it in depth.
Not here. I didn't hear that it covered it at all.
Not here. How about in Wichita?
Wichita covered it closely.
Closely.
Yeah.
Of course. Because we turned their city into a safe haven for the unborn 10 years ago.
Yes, and they had the federal marshals there this time. They had hundreds and hundreds of police, bike police, cop police, you know, car mm-hmm. policemen. In fact, before we got there, Wichita tried to keep us from being able to be on the streets in front of the clinic. They tried
really?
To
pass a law
so that we couldn't be there. And we went to court and fought it. And it was very interesting to find out that Ashcroft wrote the friend of the court brief.
John Ashcroft. A friend of the court brief
for to keep us off the streets.
Come on, Joe Scott, come on. Don't even tell me that.
Oh, Bob, you know he'd do that.
Well, it's hysterical because we have said all along that John Ashcroft is a make-believe pro-lifer. He's not a real pro-lifer. He aids the enemy on a regular basis. He loves pro-abortion judges. If he has anything to say about getting a pro-abort appointed as a judge, he's all for it.
He also sent the feds. He
sent the
feds.
Federal marshals
right.
and wrote a friend of the court brief so that the pro-lifers cannot even picket on the sidewalk,
right?
Which is a fundamental free speech right in America and around the country and through the world history. You should have the right to stand on the road and say, don't kill kids.
Right. Wichita actually banned us.
They banned you from walking on the sidewalk at the abortion mill?
Right, but we fought it, and it went to the appeals court.
And wait a second, right after this.
Bob Enyard teaches the Bible, like few others, and one of the best ways to introduce yourself to Bob Enyard's unique style of Bible teaching is with the video Mount Moriah. It's a 2-hour feature video that answers all kinds of questions about the resurrection. Is there evidence for the resurrection still in existence today? Well, this entertaining and professionally made video will show you evidence of Christ's resurrection that has remained for 2,000 years. New Testament clues which still point to Christ's actual tomb in Jerusalem. If you can't make it to Israel on the Bob Enyard tour, you can see the tomb in the video Mount Moriah. Answers all kinds of questions, folks. It proves that 1,500 years after God carved the law in stone, He carved grace in stone at Mount Moriah. And you can answer those who ask, those who doubt the resurrection. There's a mountain of evidence right here on the video, Mount Moriah.
Most people choose their long-distance company right after they see one of their funny ads on TV. At Lifeline Communications, we think that you'll choose your long-distance company for an entirely different set of values. It's true that Lifeline's rates are now 12 to 27% lower than the competition, as low as 6.9 cents on weekdays and as low as 4.9 cents on Sunday. But we're the only major long-distance company which gives away 10% of its income to spread the gospel. And we're the only long-distance company recommended by thousands of major ministries all over America. Plus, if you switch right now, we'll give you 100 minutes of long distance free. So what do? If you're serious about saving money and promoting the kingdom of God, you can do both with Lifeline. Long distance with a higher calling.
Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931. And I guarantee you, they didn't sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Denver like AT&T did. Give him a call, 1-800-684-2931.
And Bob's monthly Bible study. Join up, folks. Every Sunday night, we record a Bible study here in Denver, and we're going through the entire Bible, Lord willing. And you can sign up for $24.95 a month. We send out 4 tapes a month every month. We distribute tapes right now to over 100 families around the country. Please join up. $24.95 a month. We can send them out automatically if you sign up by credit card. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278. That's 1-888-8-ENYARD. And have you heard Bob Enyard's debate with Calvinist Brian Schwertley? Quite a debate, folks. You've got to get the tape. It's 2 hours, moderated by John Mangopoulos. Bob debates a Calvinist, and it gets into every area of predestination, free will, Calvinism versus open theism. Folks, get the video. Bob debates a Calvinist, $24.95. Give us a call, 1-888-836-9278.
Back, Bob and Aaron Live, 1-800-8-ENYARD, 1-800-836-9278. We'll start taking calls in August. In August, for the past month or so, we stopped taking calls while we built our new studio, a couple months actually. And now, in August, we'll begin taking calls again at that number. All right, so Joe Scott, John Ashcroft, our pro-life attorney general, and yeah. not the first pro-abortion thing he's done since he's been in office, but he has... He filed a friend of the court brief against the pro-lifers who were there for their stated purpose of peacefully protesting to try to save children from being killed at a late-term abortion mill.
That's right. And so in the lower court, we lost, and we were going to be banned from the streets. So AFA, American Family Association, sent a lawyer, and he won in the appellate court. And it was kind of neat because the... title in the paper, or the headline in the paper the next day, said that the city had broken the law. Not us, but the city had broken the law by taking the rights, our First Amendment rights, away from us. So.
Right, sure. You think if you were homosexual activists or animal rights protesters, you think the city would have tried to pass the law saying you're not allowed to walk on the sidewalk?
No, they never do.
Of course not.
It always happens to us.
Right.
And you know, Ashcroft, he knew that that was not constitutional.
Right.
And he wrote the brief anyway.
Sure, he should have known at any rate. So he would do whatever he can, use his authority in office to help the pro-aborts and to thwart pro-life Christians.
That's right. That's what he did.
And Brenna, does that surprise you? that he would do that?
No, not at all.
It doesn't? But he was appointed by George W. Bush, who's a pro-life president.
Well, that's debatable.
That's debatable. What a smart young woman here. Hey, thank you, Brenna. You're right. That is debatable. Bush has appointed so many pro board judges, he seems to have a penchant for them. And he appointed nothing but pro boards throughout his cabinet. And then he appointed John Ashcroft, and all the pro-lifers said, yay! And we said, gag me with a spoon.
That's right.
Gag me with a spoon. Okay.
To tell you what Judy Brown said, though.
Of the American Life League?
Yes.
Pro-life leader.
Yes.
Pro-life leaders, many of whom have gotten a lobotomy since they got into the movement. But what did she say?
Judy is pretty good about not compromising.
Good.
And she said that she's been at the Capitol in prayer meetings with John Ashcroft, and he has cried and begged God to change the status of abortion. He has even said he would publicly announce that he would never take one step to hinder the life of a child ever in any way.
Right.
So what's happened to this man? And
right.
Has he been acting all this time? I mean, she was just disgusted with him, and she's going to face him.
Well, that's good. Praise the Lord that she's doing that. That's great. But, you know, pro-lifers pro-lifers are so desperate to get a seat at the table. They want to be respected, and they want to have influence. So if it means voting for or giving money to somebody who says, hey, I only like to kill a few kids, not a lot of kids, just a few, they'll do it because they want to be kingmakers.
That's right.
They want to say, hey, our guy won the election, and he only wants to kill a handful of young, innocent people.
That's right. A lot of pro-lifers were very upset when we said don't vote for George Bush. He's not pro-life.
Right. If he's pro-life, he's a weird pro-lifer because he likes pro-abortion judges, and he especially enjoys appointing them. That's just sort of a weird pro-lifer. That'd be like somebody on the NAACP wanting to appoint judges that hate blacks. You wouldn't think that wouldn't make sense. It only makes sense in the Christian pro-life community.
Right.
That's it. Animal rights activists, they're true to their cause. Pro-life activists are not.
We're not. No.
No. We like the guys who want to kill some kids. And I don't think George W. Bush really wants to kill some kids. He just wants his career to succeed. And he figures sacrificing some kids will help his career succeed.
I don't know, Bob. How can you agonize over stem cell research? I mean, either you know that that's a child and you're going to save that child's life, you have to agonize. That, to me,
right.
is just playing games.
He's a moron.
Right.
He's a moron. You agonize over... Right. Should we... Let's see. He's not agonizing over, how do I stop stem cell research? He's agonizing over, can I fund it and get away with it?
How do I keep my career intact, my polls going well, and fund it?
With the 10% of the votes I get from pro-lifers, how do I keep that vote and still fund this? That's what he's agonizing over.
Right.
Unbelievable. Right. Well, because of you guys, I did not know this, even though 10 years ago my son and Josiah and I were at Wichita, and he was arrested repeatedly at the abortion mill, at George Tiller's abortion mill, to save the lives of unborn kids. And he was young 10 years ago. He was 8 years old. He was young. But I knew that Tiller had an incinerator in his abortion mill where he burned babies. Now, does he still do that?
Yes, he does, and we saw the smoke while we were picketing. I have very little sense of smell, so I didn't smell it. But many of the other pro-lifers said, oh, what's that horrible smell? And it was the incinerators had kicked in, and you could see the smoke coming out of the side of the building.
He could have waited. He undoubtedly did that to push his perversion in your face.
They say he's pretty arrogant about everything that he does. He's very arrogant.
Right. He kills kids, and he's proud of it.
Right.
Now, how about what I just found out? I didn't know he does this. The memorial services that he offers as a service after he kills these late-term babies.
Bob, it is so horrific and so sad. I mean, one day I was walking down the street, and there was a sidewalk counselor, and she said she had some pictures, and she showed them to me, and it was of a memorial service of a child that had been killed through by partial birth abortion.
At Tiller?
At Tiller's.
A memorial service in the abortuary.
Right.
In the abortion
it's
mill.
It's one of the services he provides. First he aborts them, then he soaks them for funeral costs. Can you believe this? And then, so I looked at the pictures. I've been doing this for over 20 years, Bob. I thought that it would be tough to shock me, or maybe I wouldn't be shocked anymore, but right. I was horrified.
You brought those pictures with you today?
Yes, I did.
What I'd like to do, I'd like you to show me some of them, and then we will put them on KGov on the website, so that while people listen to the show, they'll be able to click on memorial photos, maybe on Tiller the Killer photos, and we'll find out for ourselves. We'll see what's happening.
Okay. Here's a picture of the little girl. Her name is Tess. They named her Tess. She had cystic fibrosis, so in the seventh month of the pregnancy, they used the partial birth method of aborting her.
This is absolutely devastating.
And can you believe it? They have her all wrapped up in pretty blankets.
Yeah.
Little rose next to her.
Puppies and teddy bears on the...
And a picture of Jesus.
On the... Well, where... I don't see that. Thank you, Brenna. Brenna just handed me another picture. Who's this young man bending over, tenderly bending over this dead baby?
That's her father.
Her father?
That's her father.
Oh, my. And giving now, the dead little baby a tiny teddy bear.
Right. Now, look at that little baby's face. The mouth is disfigured and the nose is not quite where it belongs. That's because they've just crushed her tiny, precious little head.
Oh.
It's devastating. How can he look at her?
Oh,
how can they do that?
And so here's a picture of apparently the mother. I just see her legs.
Here's a picture
with a baby and a rose. And here's a picture of Jesus and the little teddy bear they gave the baby.
Right. Here's a picture
this
of the
mother.
This
is devastating. And the mother is smiling?
Yes.
That she just killed her own baby?
Well, she did write a letter that she sent with these pictures, and I photocopied it. If you would like, Brenna will read it for you.
Yes. Who's the letter written to?
The letter's written to Sharon. She's the sidewalk counselor.
That you talked to.
That I talked to.
So the sidewalk counselor obviously somehow got in touch with this woman who killed her baby.
Well, she talked to her on the way into Tiller. She stopped the car. And the mother didn't want the abortion, but the father was forcing her to go. And you know how it is at the clinics when they're being dragged in, there's nobody there to help you.
It's nothing about choice. If they take a woman who's in tears, convulsing in tears, because she doesn't want to do it, and her father or her mother or her husband or boyfriend is saying, you have this abortion or you're out in the gutter, what Planned Parenthood does, what George Tiller does, is they sell them the abortion.
Right.
Instead of with the least bit of human compassion saying, obviously, this young woman is not ready for this medical procedure today. But they don't do that.
And Sharon got her, stayed there, saw her when she came out, and got her address. And they've kept in touch through the mail through all this time.
Oh, my.
And so Sharon has been trying to comfort her any way she can. But this now is 3 years ago.
All right. So, Brenna, could you please read this letter to us?
Yes. Dear Sharon, thank you for listening. Here are the pictures of Tess. I feel so bad for the smiles on my face in some of the photos. I was in shock. By no means am I happy. To me, Tess was beautiful because she was my daughter. I left the somewhat naked photos out because they are pretty graphic, and I am also ashamed of letting someone make those horrible marks on her body. What kind of mother am I? I let that butcher slash her up. I was supposed to protect her. Now all I do is miss her.
Oh, what a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy. So here's yet another woman who, she murdered her own child.
Yes, she did.
She is guilty. But the system seduced her into doing it. She's guilty, but they allowed this abortionist murderer, allowed her husband to drag her in when she didn't want the procedure. Nothing about choice. That's all a lie. It's about killing.
Exactly.
What a tragedy. These pictures are devastating. Describe for the audience this one of the mom.
Well, the baby is placed in a blanket on a table, on top of a table. It looks like in a lunchroom of some sort. You see a chair with some potato chips behind it, and there's a pretty baby blanket, and the baby is swaddled in that, and the mom has her cheek. She's bent over her cheek to cheek with her baby. She's smiling and holding the little teddy bear up so that the person taking the picture would see the teddy bear, her, and the baby. And it just boggles your mind to look at this.
20, 25 years ago, the parole boards did everything they could to hide these pictures because they wanted the world to believe it was just a blob. It wasn't a baby. They've come a long way, haven't they?
Right. He allows this in his
obviously encourages it.
Butchatorium.
Because they want to take it one step further. Many of the abortionists are no longer saying it's not alive or it's not a baby, it's not a human life. They're saying it is a baby and you have the right to kill it.
Do you know what Tiller said to her as she was leaving? She took a little longer than she should have with her baby, and he was getting irritated.
She's a customer to him.
Right, she's a customer, and he was irritated. This is what she said to Sharon, because I got Sharon to call her to get permission to use these pictures. And she said the last thing Tiller said to her as she was leaving the clinic was, "Your child was an effective parasite."
Great.
Which devastated her. I don't know exactly.
Your child was an effective parasite. Does this woman, do we have the woman's name?
Yes, but I'm not allowed to give it out yet.
Okay. We have her picture, obviously.
Yes.
And some people who view it on the web might know who this couple is.
Right.
But
she's also given permission.
Does she have other parasites? I wanted to know.
She has another child.
Oh, she does.
Born a year and a half ago, I think.
Okay.
And this child has cystic fibrosis.
Oh.
It's the same reason why they had the partial birth abortion done on Tess.
Really? How old was Tess before she was killed?
7 months.
7 months old. And Tiller does partial birth abort. He doesn't do another technique for old late-term abortions?
I don't know.
Okay, but he does
do
partial birth.
Yeah.
And partial birth abortion, Brenna, are you familiar with that term?
Yes, I am.
Could you describe it to the audience?
Okay, what happens in a partial birth abortion procedure is the abortionist will take the baby, he'll grab a leg of the baby and pull it through so that only the head is left inside of the woman.
In other words, he pulls the leg
it's
through
like
the birth canal?
Like a breech.
Like a breech baby?
Yes.
Being born upside down.
Right.
So feet first, and then
right.
He takes his whole body out?
Right, everything except the head. And then at that point, they stick a sharp instrument into the back of the neck, and they will suck all the brains out and collapse the head so it can be delivered.
Oh, what a tragedy.
Yes.
And, of course, the little baby's head, his skull, is just forming, and it's soft.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that's why this baby here, his mouth and his nose is not quite how it should be.
Her mouth.
Her mouth. I'm sorry, yes. Little Tess. Joe, do you know if these photos are on the web yet?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone else has put them up. I know when I got those pictures, I asked her, please, let me go make copies.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to realize...
If I was her, I wouldn't let these photos out of my hands.
I wouldn't either. She didn't know if I was a parole board.
Sharon, you could have been a parole board.
I could have been a parole board.
Right.
But she, for some reason, she let me have them, and I ran to Kinko's, and I copied them 60 copies.
60 copies of each of these?
60 copies altogether.
Oh, in total.
Because between Leslie Hanks and I, that's all the money we had on
Leslie
us.
Leslie Hanks, well-known pro-life activist from Denver.
That's all the money we had on us. Yeah. Leslie had more than I did.
So you had 60 bucks worth of photos.
And then
photos.
When I got back to the picket line, sidewalk counselors from all over the country, I mean, they were gone in no time. Everyone just gave me a dollar and took a page, you know. So they're everywhere. This is going to be,
They are all over the country now.
Yeah, they are all over the country. If anyone's
Thank you, Joe, for doing that. That was great.
You're welcome. I just know that this child is going to make an impact on our country. She's never taken a breath or
little
seen
Tess.
The light of day, but she'll save lives because she's going to go on the truth truck. And it's a huge 18-wheel truck.
She is?
She's going to be on the truth truck.
Oh, my.
So,
what?
Troy Newman's
what
working on that now.
Incredible pictures. Oh, my. Okay. All right. So now, even though that's so devastating, it's just horrendous to see. And I want to warn people out there, if you haven't clicked on the Tiller the Killer photos yet, the memorial photos for Tess, you may not want to because they're very, very difficult to see. But I encourage people out there to let others know. Send emails around pointing to the link to KGov and go into forums and let people know that they need to view these photographs.
That's right.
This father is not going to want to have his face on a million computer screens around the country.
You're right.
But he's going to have it there.
He's a murderer.
Yeah, he's a murderer.
And I don't want to protect him.
Yeah, that's a good point. And the wife, obviously the mother, is now repentant.
And
is she saved?
No.
She's not become a Christian.
Not yet, because she's been dealing with a Catholic. Hopefully that's going to change.
Out on the picket line, we typically have Protestant pro-lifers and Catholic pro-lifers. And when you, being a Protestant pro-lifer, when you develop a relationship with a mom who almost or did kill her baby,
my goal is first to save the baby and secondly to save her soul, to introduce Christ to the mom.
Get her saved.
And get her saved and get her in church.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened, but because of the difference in religions, I didn't get the phone number. But I have...
So, in other words, the Catholic pro-life activist was hesitant to give you the phone number because you're a Protestant.
Right.
And you would try to bring the gal to the Lord and get her to pray to ask Jesus to forgive her and all that.
That and the fact that she didn't want the girl hounded to death. But I have access to the phone number anyway.
You do?
Yes, I do.
All right. Very good,
so Jeff. I'll be getting it.
You're very resourceful.
Yes. And I will talk
and
to
maybe
her.
Maybe we could
And I want her on
you.
Your show, Bob.
Oh, really?
I want her on this show. That's the reason I wanted the phone number.
Oh,
I want you to be able to interview her.
Well, and maybe we'll put the invitation on the website because she may very well find out that these photos are right.
She's given permission to O.R. West to use her face on the truth truck. She wants to make up for what she's done in any way she can. Mm. We want to see her saved.
And, of course, you can't ever make up for killing a child.
No.
But you could repent.
Right.
And she is sorry, and that sorrow should be used to bring her to the Lord.
Well, the Bible says godly sorrow will lead you to repentance, and that's what we're hoping.
That's right. All right, Joe, I do pray for this mom that you can get in touch with her, or if not you, someone, Brenna or some.
Brenna, yes.
Someone who's willing to share the gospel with her.
Right.
And I've met some Catholics who are concerned about making sure somebody puts their faith in Christ, but others seem less concerned about that. And that, of course, is a tragedy.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me what else. You were in Wichita for how long?
A week and a day or something like that. Brenna was there since June 4th.
Since June 4th. So how long were you there then?
Like a month and a half.
A month and a half, Brenna? Wow. You almost are a Wichita resident now. And so why were you there so early?
I went there early to help prepare all the events and get everything in order for everybody else to show up.
To show up. Mm-hmm. People like Joe and her husband Ken Scott.
Yeah.
So in what capacity were you, how is it that you ended up there? Who were you working with?
Well, I work for Troy Newman with Operation Rescue West.
Yeah, great.
And he heard about this whole event this summer, and he had been out there before to see kind of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sent me out there before.
I'm so glad he did, because apparently it was a success.
Yes, it was.
Now, how about when we were there at the first Summer of Mercy 10 years ago, the feminists were trying to organize against us, and Wichita didn't have a big feminist contingency. And so some out-of-state people took over, and they were in charge. Mm-hmm. And one of them was a feminist by the name of Jeff White. you both know Jeff White, pro-life Christian from California.
Yes.
And now, I don't want to smear Jeff White's reputation, but this is how I remember it. I think it's true. It was 10 years ago. So maybe it was one of Jeff White's friends, but I think it was Jeff White. And I seem to recall him leading a feminist march and calling out the chants. In one of the chants, he had these women from Wichita. He started out, "We're here, we're queer, get used to us." And the women were like, "We don't know if we could say that here in Wichita." It's like, come on, get with it. And, you know.
Sounds like Jeff.
Get off my ovaries and all those chants. And
yeah.
and he's hysterical.
Yes.
He's just great. But at any rate, and if it wasn't Jeff, maybe I'll get a correction on a future show. But I think it was.
Sounds like Jeff.
Yeah. But so you were there early. Troy Newman asked you to come out, so you helped organize the event. So thank you very much for doing that, Brenna. You know what they call, now this stupid joke doesn't really fit in here, but you know what they call a homosexual cow? Do you?
No.
A Dairy Queen? At any rate, I heard there was a Dairy Queen story in Wichita.
There is a Dairy Queen story.
Tell me about it.
Well, normally I don't go to ice cream places because I don't want the calories, but this week was unbelievable, 105 degrees or more every day. And you know how they say the heat index? Well, the heat index was 115 because of the humidity.
Humidity. But it's like being in hell.
I said, this is what I was telling people. I'd say, do you live here? And they'd say, yeah. I'd say, why? It's one block from hell.
One block from hell.
It's so hot.
Hell is just south of Wichita.
It was.
It is
awful.
Hot. And how do people do it?
And my husband.
I'm in misery when
You know how he is. He's single-minded and focused. So we're out from 5 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. I'm dying, you know.
Joe.
So at the end of the week, I said, let's go to Dairy Queen. He couldn't believe it because I never say stuff like that.
I like real ice cream anyway, not their watered down.
Yeah.
Loose stuff. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, we went, actually we wanted to Baskin and Robbins. It was closed. Then we went to a couple other places. Every ice cream place in Wichita, these people don't know how to make money, is closed. So finally, you know, so finally we show up at, we see a Dairy Queen sign way down the road, and I'm just hanging out the window hoping we get there. Well, we drive up. Of course, we're in the van, and it's got those pictures.
All the pictures.
All over.
Your personal van, you and your husband, Ken Scott, have been all over the country with this old green, Ford van?
It's brown.
Brown. It's so covered with pictures. I've been in it 100 times. I don't even know what color it is.
Yeah.
It's plastered with photos.
Yeah, aborted babies. And
babies, aborted babies, and it's a very powerful tool.
Yes. So we pull up in the Dairy Queen parking lot, and we walk into Dairy Queen, and we have pro-life shirts on. And the woman at the register said, you were here all week? And I said, yes. And she said, well, I went to the picket. I said, oh, good. She said, I'm pro-choice. He said, oh, that's too bad.
She went to the picket against you.
Against us. She was on the other side. And the other side was radical. I mean, they were
lesbian pro-abort, vicious.
Openly communist, you know, praising communism. And
weird, aren't they weird, pro-aborts?
Oh, yeah. Refuse and resist. You know, you had to, just unbelievable
that
people.
Group, right.
So she says, she's on that side. And she said, I was raped, you know. Whether or not that was true at that point, I didn't know. She said, I was raped. And I said, well, your baby had a right to live. And she
said, in other words, she's saying she had an abortion, and she
because
she was raped.
At that point, I assumed she had the abortion.
Yeah, that's
she
what she's saying.
She lost the baby.
Sounds like a lie.
Sounds like the same
lies.
Answer you get all the time.
Sounds like two lies.
Yeah.
Every woman who's pregnant and didn't want to be was raped and had a miscarriage.
Right. Exactly.
It's amazing how common those things
but
are.
But I didn't argue with her. When she said she was raped,
right.
I said, I'm so sorry. And
you know what we call date rape?
What?
On this show, on KGov, whore's remorse.
Whore's remorse,
Whore's remorse. A woman goes to a frat party, a fraternity, she gets drunk, she has sex with three or four guys, and the next day she says, I was raped.
Right.
Right. And the feminists and our media encourage that kind of victim mentality rather than telling women, don't get in the situation, don't go to a party with a bunch of drunks, scantily clad, don't sleep there overnight, defend yourself. They say you have every right to get drunk, be in a negligee in a frat house overnight, and insist that no one touch you.
Right.
So the women
and then call it
victims.
Rape if they do. Right. We've invited them.
Right. Whore's remorse.
Yeah. Well,
but, of course, some men rape women, and they should be executed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
So, anyway, this young woman was getting angrier by the minute because I wouldn't back off on there's no reason to kill a child, rape or incest or any other reason. She started yelling into the back room, someone get out here, I'm going to throw these drinks at these people.
Oh,
she was
my.
Screeching.
Cheryl, congratulations. You had a good Christian ministry going on there.
I was watching her because I didn't want her spitting in my drink.
It's right out of the book of Jeremiah.
She was really, and the manager runs out. He happens to be a Christian.
Oh.
He says, I know you have this, you've got to sit down. You can't keep talking to her. Well, I won't shut up because I want to keep talking.
He told
talking
you,
to her.
You got to sit down?
Yeah. And
even though he was nice and polite,
he was very nice,
Christian.
Right, he was very nice. He said, but we have other customers, and you can't be fighting with the workers, and he couldn't shut her up. And
She wouldn't shut up.
No, she wouldn't. And then
she was under his control. He was her supervisor.
Right, but he got her in the back room. She came out, and she said, I am sorry. I shouldn't be yelling at you. I said, that's okay, but we need to continue talking about this.
Well,
so she started
you,
asking questions. And one question led to another, and she started not yelling anymore, calming down. I don't exactly remember what made her calm down and what made her start to ask the questions. I don't remember. So there were more customers behind me, and I said, I'm going to sit down. So I went and sat down. As soon as she finished waiting on them, she came over to our booth, and she said, can I be a Christian if I believe that abortion's okay in the case of rape and incest? And I said, rape and incest doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you're a Christian. It's Jesus Christ. Mm. And I gave her the gospel. And she went back to the behind the thing, came running back out again a couple minutes later, as soon as she finished with the next set of customers. And she said, I have a break in a few minutes. Will you wait for me?
Oh, my.
So
what
said,
a change, huh? And this woman went from enraged against you to listening to the gospel and wanting to hear it. How many unbelievers go to hell because Christians are so nice and non-judgmental and non-confrontational and they believe in lifestyle evangelism?
Right.
Well, guess what? Traveling through town, stopping in at a Dairy Queen, your lifestyle evangelism is going to let everyone who works there go to hell.
That's right.
Because you don't have time to show them your lifestyle. You're getting a blizzard and you're out of there.
Right. So she comes out for a break, and then she says, Bob, this was horrific. She says, let's go outside.
Let's go outside.
I said, you want to go outside? It's air conditioned in here. She said, I'm from Wichita. I'm used
she might have been a satanic plant.
Trying to kill me.
Trying to dehydrate you.
So we go outside, and for her whole break, I go through the scriptures with her, and she prays with me.
Oh, yeah, so, what a story.
But you still don't know, you know.
So now, Brenna, how well do you know Jo?
Very well.
Very well? How do you know her?
Many years.
Almost her whole life.
Yeah, she's
most
a good
of your
friend
life.
Of my mom's.
So you're
she's a high school teacher.
Good friend of your mom's.
Yeah.
And a what school teacher?
Yeah, she taught me.
In what grade?
Fifth and sixth grade.
Fifth and sixth? Yeah. You knew Brenna even before
coach.
That?
And she was my basketball coach. Yeah.
So you've known Jo for a long...
Forever.
Yeah. Oh, and did you know she was this kind of an activist, teaching, telling people about the Lord?
Yes.
Is that all new for Jo?
No.
Oh, she was like that a long time ago?
Very much
so.
I used to take my fifth and sixth grade class with me to do that.
So this is not just an act ever since Jo came out to Denver.
No, not at all.
She really is crazy.
Yep.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, Brenna, did you notice a couple of things Jo did when this woman, Jo starts talking to her about getting saved, and this woman brings in rape and incest exceptions? Mm-hmm. And how, I know she just said it, but I want you to repeat it. How did Jo deal with that? I'm putting you on the spot, aren't I?
You're on the spot.
The woman wanted to talk about rape and incest, and Jo...
She just turned it. toward the gospel.
Right.
Not focusing on excuses.
Right. Not allowing her to be distracted to other issues.
Right.
So Joe and this woman, the Dairy Queen worker, could have gotten into a renewed argument about rape and incest. But at that point, Joe's trying to get her saved, so you focus on Jesus Christ.
Right.
What we do with abortion, when we're, say, we do a two-minute interview on the radio or a two-minute with a coworker on break at work, and we're talking about abortion, we don't get off into, well, it's not right they call us anti-choice instead of pro-life.
Right.
We don't allow ourselves to get distracted when we know what we're doing. We stay what? Talking about Jesus? No. When we're on abortion, we stay talking about the baby.
That's right. The baby.
We talk about the baby. They're killing the baby. Mm-hmm. And if they want to talk about government funding for baby killing, you want to talk about child government funding for baby killing, let's talk about how do they kill the baby. Mm-hmm. And when is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arm off his body? Would you answer that question for me? Mm-hmm. Joe, I don't know if you remember, I used to ask that question.
You
10,000 times.
Recently you've done that.
And recently, I resurrected that question at the abortion mill and I asked the workers there, the security people, the death escorts. I asked them, hey, at what age is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arm from its body? And they don't answer. And they hate us, of course. You know that, right?
Yeah.
The pro-aborts don't like the pro-lifer picketers. They like the pro-lifers who sit at church and never confront them. Yeah. They like them fine. They don't like the pro-lifers who stop women from killing their babies right there, right at the gate of hell. But so I asked the security guard and death escort and the people there. I said, hey, I've got about 10 of us here. There was maybe 30 or 40. And I said, if you'll answer this question, we'll leave, 10 of us. And you want us to leave. You got to tell them what they want. They're so stupid. You want us to leave. So if you answer the question, we'll leave. I won't argue with you. It doesn't even matter if I agree with your answer or not. If you answer the question, we'll leave. At what age is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arm from its body? And the security guard said, December. I said, well, December is not an age. But if you could give me an age... And a woman, the death squirt, I think she said Thursday. That's not an age either. This was a Saturday. So I said, come on, I know you're talking. You obviously want us to leave. At what age is it no longer okay to rip a baby's arm from its body? They wouldn't answer.
Their public school was showing, Bob.
Their public school was showing. What a shame. But, and of course, they couldn't answer the question, right?
No, they can't.
Because they don't want to admit what they're doing, even though... We have photographs here of what they're doing.
And Martha, the girl that I talked to at the Dairy Queen, Bob, when I got home Tuesday night, I guess, the phone rang and it was her. And I talked to her for 2 hours.
The Dairy Queen gal?
Yeah.
Called you here in Denver?
Yeah.
Why did she call?
She's just so hungry. She has thousands of questions and she just asked one question.
She's a brand new Christian.
Yes.
You see that? And the Christians who condemn, like John Ashcroft... This files a friend of the court brief on the side of the lesbians and the communists and the child killers against the Christian pro-lifers.
Right.
Right. If he would have succeeded, you guys might not even have won. Oh, no, you would have won.
We'd have won. I
know
wasn't supposed to walk in the street to hand literature to cars.
Oh, no?
But I did anyway. I got... At least one ticket. I have two tickets. I don't know.
You do?
Yeah.
Two tickets?
For doing
that. To Jurassic Park?
Yes.
What kind of tickets do they give out?
One they gave me, they said, was a moving violation. And I said, how can you get
out?
I'm walking. You can't give me a moving violation.
A moving violation. That's pretty funny because your mouth was in motion.
Yes, and it was. And then a couple days later, I'm in the parade. We got permission to have a parade around Tillers twice a day.
Oh.
Which was like a death march because it was so hot.
Right.
But this cop runs me down, this female cop, a FOMO, runs me down.
A female homo.
Yeah.
FOMO.
She runs me down and hands me another ticket. And I said, what have I done? I'm in the parade. She said, it's in reference to Tuesday's ticket. So I think what she did was just switch it to a non-moving violation because that would have made her look pretty stupid.
Moving violation. Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, we even helped the police do their jobs.
Yeah, and then Ken got pulled over. We're driving down the road, and Dan, you know, didn't like the heat or the low altitude a whole lot, so it was bucking, and he went over the white line on the shoulder, and he got pulled over. The cops came to the window of the van. He said, either you're drinking, you're reading, or you're on a cell phone. And I always thought of you when he said,
on the cell,
on the cell phone, because I thought, Bob, going down the road. But he ended up letting us go. We didn't get a ticket for going over the white line.
Wow.
But there was a wedding at Tiller's Church on Saturday afternoon. So Ken and I grabbed a bunch of people, and we went over, and we picketed the wedding. Well, they lost their minds.
The wedding did.
Yeah.
Huge pictures of aborted children.
Huge.
At a wedding.
Yes.
Wow.
They didn't like it. Plus, we have a friend with us named Trumpet. You know Trumpet. Plays the trumpet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, he was out there, and he's playing the trumpet. He's playing taps at the wedding.
Oh, my.
They didn't like that.
Oh, my.
So then the next morning.
Because this church has a member in good standing who kills children.
Tiller's like Church. This. Yes. Not only that, his pastor comes out openly, supports him in what
course.
He does. You
of
know?
Course, right.
So we didn't have any problem with picketing that church.
You know, when we were in Wichita 10 years ago, we put signs all over the town, little post-it notes.
Yeah.
Thousands of them. We got thick black magic markers, and we spelled the word Tiller, and we made the T also into a K. So the one word Tiller said Tiller, Killer.
Killer, I see.
And we put those all over town, and they're just post-it notes, so they come off, and we didn't vandalize property. But then we took the smaller post-it notes, thousands, and we made a TK, just a TK, one letter, both.
So they know what it was.
And we put them all over town.
Great.
Tiller, Killer. But the town celebrates him.
Yes, they do,
him.
And defends him to their last breath, I think they will. So Sunday morning, there were three women. We had another picket outside his church service, and they didn't like it. I mean, they were running outside. The ushers were calling us child molesters. Why, I don't know. That didn't make any sense to me. But three women had signs that said, Killer Tiller, and there's a serial killer in the neighborhood. And they hid them, and they went into the service. And when they got up, they sat way up in front. So during the service, they stood up to leave, and they held the signs over their heads, and they got manhandled out of the church and thrown in jail for that. So we stayed an extra day to make sure that they were. We picketed the jail, and Trumpet played the trumpet. He played all kinds of Christian music. All the inmates are banging in the windows. They loved it. And then we went back the next morning to the jail, not the jail, the city hall, and picketed city hall in the courthouse while they were on video. Yeah. When we realized they were going to get out, we left town. So they're out and back in California.
Very good. All right, so we're nearing the end of the show. I'd like to give either of you a chance to add a little bit to what we've been talking about. But how about effectiveness, Brenna? What did we accomplish there?
I think we accomplished a lot. Not only did we inspire the local people to get active, but we just let people know that we want this to end. We are not going to allow Tiller to kill children in America. He is known internationally as, you know, a late-term abortionist. And before the event started, a few weeks before that, this couple from England came over just to see Tiller's mill, and they were not pro-life.
They
had heard that, you know, Tiller's wonderful place, and they wanted to come and see it. And they made a special trip out there just to see Tiller's mill. And so we were just letting people know that that it's going to stop. We're not going to stand idly by.
We're not going to allow people to kill kids in our country with us keeping silent. We'll do everything we can to make their lives miserable and bring pressure on child abuse. That is so neat, Brian. Right.
There were also two local pastors that knelt in the street and blocked the clinic.
Two local pastors?
Yes, and they were taken away.
Oh,
they went to jail. So they're going to pick up the ball and carry it, which is so important.
Praise the Lord. We're out of time. Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much for joining me. Brenna Sullinger, am I saying it right? Brenna Sullinger, Brenna, B-R-E-N-N-A, and Joe Scott, J-O.
That's right.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us. We're going to put these pictures on KGov, and we'll let people know what other atrocities are happening in Wichita. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.